My name is Ajay Sharma. I am a chef, culinary arts student in the Culinary Institute of America in New York. Hello, Mini. Welcome to Graduate School of Hotel Administration, Manipal. And your lovely host for the podcast, Python with Bhavachi. The podcast features my fellow chefs, foodies, and hospitality people who share their journey of food and working in the industry. Also, beside that, I will have a fun conversation with them or in all my episodes. On today's episode, we'll be talking to one of a very special friend of mine, who is a columnist, who is a food reviewer, who is an amazing personality, and she taught me how not to give up in life. She had joined Waksha in 2015, but due to her allergies for food, she couldn't pursue her career as a chef. But that didn't stop her passion for food, and she went into food blogging. And today, she's a very named blogger in Kerala. Ladies and gentlemen, Nigella Lawson for me. Please welcome Anjana Gopakumar on today's episode. Hi, Anjana.
Hi, Ajay. That was such a heartfelt introduction. Thank you so much. I'm just Nigella Lawson, really. I almost lost it there. I was like, what? Okay. But I'm just going to soak it all in. Thank you so much. You're also someone I look up to. You're a senior. I've seen write books. I remember, I'll tell you something before we start the podcast. This is a distant memory from college I have. I think Chef Saransh Goela had come for the launch of his book to our college.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and
India on my platter. Yes, yes.
Correct, exactly. And I think we were all sitting in the auditorium. And Chef was talking to us, and he was telling us about his signature butter chicken, Goela butter chicken and everything.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
He asked us, do you want to ask a question? And I was a first year, I was super intimidated. And only one person stood up from the crowd and asked him questions, and that was you. And I'm like, you know what, I want that kind of confidence. That's my most strong memory of Chef Ajay.
So, I know you as a columnist. I have been following your page. Thank God I'm not fat. Thank God. That's the episode's name today. That thank God I'm not fat.
Yeah, it's thank God I'm fat. That's where that's my pen name. You could call it. Yeah.
Oh, it's it should have a verified badge by your name now.
Oh God, I think a little far fetched, but
So, okay, so Anjana, you hail from the land of peppercorn, the land of spices, the God's own country, Kerala, right?
Yes.
And we all know how Kerala had played a very influential role in the trading with spices and connecting the world through food.
Yep.
And we all know that you are a sister of a very famous musician, Mr. Ashwin Gopakumar, who is having a brand, who is having a music band named When Chai Met Toast. Besides being such a multitasking personality, people, she is also a very good singer.
Oh God, thank you. You just, aapka bada pan hai, so this is,
So, I was having a fun segment with you today on this podcast. So, where I'll ask you a few questions about your life, about your career, and you know, how you developed into what you are today.
Got it.
So, let's start from your childhood. See, everyone, every Indian kid has some food memory as a child, right? So, tell us about your upbringing and how you grew up, and like, what was it feel like growing up in Kerala, and what was your environment was like?
So, I have a Tamil and Kerala background, okay? Malayali background. So, I'm a mix.
Okay.
So, basically, our ancestors and, you know, if you go into the caste system, which I'm not a really big supporter of, but then, to talk about my roots, we are people from Tamil Nadu. And if you know, Thiruvananthapuram was part of Kanyakumari. I mean, you know, it was part of Tamil Nadu before. And so, we have a lot of Tamil roots at home. But then, my Nana was in the Air Force. Like, and so my mom has that kind of, you know, she migrated from one place to another. So she never really knew Malayalam or anything. But my dad is a proper Malayali with Tamil roots. So, so like the, it's a mixed bag at home. So mom brings in, if I'm talking, if I'm particularly have to talk about food, Mom brings in a little bit of North Indian element into the house because she was raised, you know, there in the north.
Okay.
And my dad, dad's family brings in that hyper-local, very grounded roots and everything into the family. So my mom has an issue called trigeminal neuralgia, which is a problem with the nerve, which comes from the brain. And so she, in between, when I was in second or third grade, my mom couldn't take care of both my brother and I. And I had to go live with my grandma, which is to the interior parts of Thiruvananthapuram. So in Kerala, Kochi is Kochi is the place that people know. Thiruvananthapuram is the capital, which is further down, right? It's close to Kanyakumari, and Neyyattinkara is the closest to Kanyakumari. So it's like a, it was like a, not a city back then. So it was all temple, going to the temple in the morning, going to school, walking with friends, you know, lunch, getting to school. So that's when my love for food started. Like like, it's not like I would go and sit, stand with my grandmom or anything, not the cliche type. My grandmom used to not let me anywhere near the kitchen because she was an ardent believer of education. She's like, not your time for the kitchen, go study. And she was like really strict. So, but then I started watching a lot of shows. So it was Aditya Bal, Highway on My Plate by Rocky and Mayur, Nigella Lawson. Yeah, so there was a lot of free time and my grandma was very strict and she used to not let me go out and play. So my entertainment was only the television, the idiot box. But then that taught me a lot. That's how my love for food started. And then I came back to the city and then I think it just sprouted in me and I've always wanted to get into cooking. Yeah.
So you talked about your love for food started from TV by watching different vlogging channels about food.
Yes.
Something is very similar to me as well. I developed the love for food by watching Mirch Masala back in the early 2000s with Rakesh Sethi. It used to be like, by that time, Khana Khazana was not that much in, you know,
Sanjeev Kapoor, no?
Yeah, Sanjeev Kapoor. I grew up watching Sanjeev Kapoor, Rakesh Sethi. So, you know, that idiot box had some influence on me for being a chef. And then later on, MasterChef happened when the first
season came. I've never watched MasterChef though. I feel very bad. I've never watched a single episode of MasterChef.
No, I watched all the seasons, but the one I enjoyed the most was when Chef Sanjeev Kapoor had appeared and Ranveer Bara's seasons, and when eventually Ranveer Bara, Vineet Bhatia, and Vikas Khanna were, you know, were hosting the guest. So, with so much love you towards the food, you must be having one fond memory with the food, right? Which you cannot take it out of your brain.
So, one fond memory, I cannot point it down or narrow it down to one closest memory. But then, so when I used to live with my grandmom, so because, you know, she got married at the age of 16 and went with my Nana to the north. She makes a lot of fulkas and rotis and sabzi at home. But then when I was living with her there, it was very traditional food. Like, you know, we'd have kanni for dinner. And we'd have on Saturdays, we'll have fish. Like, so fish is a constant for me, like seafood. So we used to get anchovies on Saturday. And my grandmom had this rule that we'll only have non-veg on Saturdays. So I used to look out for that weekend when she would actually make anchovy fry, the Kerala style, really spicy. And Sundays were another added charm because Saturday, my dad used to come pick me up in the evening and I used to go home, which is in the same district, but to the city, right? So, and Sunday, I used to spend with my mom, dad, and my brother. And Sunday evening, I would be dropped back to my, with my Achi. Achi is my grandma. So, Sunday, Amma used to prepare this fulka, chicken curry, and Russian salad. Weird combination, I know, but then that is a family tradition. Like, if there's something good happening, Amma prepares that and all of us just enjoy it. It's a sweet, spicy, it's a weird combination, but we love it. Yeah, that's probably my strongest food memory.
So, and my strongest food memory, if you ask me, when I was in Manipal, was with the achappam. Oh my God, it's such a great Malayali delicacy. It's such a, it's like a fried, you know, that rose petal kind of
rose cookies. Sweet. Yeah, but it's not Malayali. I wrote a piece on that for On Manorama.
Oh, I think See, I was told it's a Malayali. See, I
Yeah,
don't
so even we think, we believe. So Malayali is, it's like our pride, but then there's a Dutch influence, there's
Right.
the same thing called Kokis in Sri Lanka, and then
Yeah.
there's Scandinavian rose cookies, then there's Naan Panjere. So there's a lot of, for Navruz they prepare. It's the same concept, but I think it
Right.
came, it started off with the Dutch coming to, I mean, the influence rubbing off on Sri Lanka, and from there to Tamil Nadu, then to Kerala and Andhra. Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, Anjana,
Yeah.
so you are such a hardcore foodie. So you initially decided to pursue your career initially as a chef, and you chose the most prestigious Welcome Group Graduate School of Hotel Administration. You were
Yeah.
enrolled in 2015, but
Yeah.
due to your allergies for flour, I guess.
I
I'm not
was
sure.
allergic to, I'm not sure if I've completely recovered, but then I was allergic to refined flour, caster sugar, spices, except salt. Basically, anything very dusty in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that.
So initially, when I met you, you were in Baka and
Yep.
you were pursuing in culinary arts
Yep.
and you wanted to be a chef. So,
Yeah.
how has your journey been in Vaksha for the time you were there?
Vaksha is a paradise for me. Okay, so I decided that I wanted to. So my idea of a chef was always a commercial chef. Okay, the one
Yeah.
like Ritu Dalmia. Like Ritu Dalmia is a chef. But I'm saying
Yeah.
something like when I used to watch them behind the camera, I've always wanted to do that. You know,
Okay,
get into NDTV. Yeah.
let's be precise more about celebrity chef.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
A celebrity chef. That's what I had
Yeah.
in my mind. But then, you know, seeing Vikas Khanna, I think the first ever video I saw Vikas Khanna was where he made Moti Chur cheesecake. And I was like, ooh.
What? Yeah.
Yes. So I was like, oh, I want to do this too. I want to learn all that. And I told my parents that, you know, I want to study and be a chef, a professional one. And then
Right.
because my dad is a little conservative and my mom is super, super progressive. My dad
Yeah.
was a little concerned about the odd timing, you know, chef, what profession is it? But then my brother had already paved the way for me, right? Like he
Right.
got into music, like you said in the beginning, and it was easy for me to convince them. And they were like, you know
Right.
what, choose the best college. And when they say best, we had to choose Vaksha. So
Right.
yeah, I spoke to a couple of friends and I narrowed it down to Vaksha. I mean, it was an easy pick. I mean, what's not good about Vaksha, right? I love that
Yeah.
place. I think the first person I met at Vaksha was Ratnadeep Bhattacharya, sir. He took me on a tour of Vaksha and I was extremely
Right.
excited. My parents fell in
Yeah.
love with the facility within Baka. They were like, can we also study? And I
Oh,
started
of
off,
course.
I think I started off and I won the election, the CR thing. And I was all the more set. I was like, you know what, this is the place to be. And yeah, I loved all the practicals. I have huge, massive respect and love for Chef Thiru, Chef Manoj, Chef Vasantan, and everyone who taught me there. They're still my mentors and people I look up to. But then, yeah, because of the allergies and my health was deteriorating, I had to drop. And I was lost. And I told my parents that I really want to do this. And then Chef Thiru called my mom.
Okay.
And he was like, why don't you try hotel management? My mom wanted to speak to him as well, like, is it a good option to try it out? And he's like, you'll have very minimal kitchen, but you can still, you know, work around the same industry if you really like
Right.
it. And
Right.
that's how I decided to do another course in the same institution. So,
Right.
and then I again dropped out. I think if I go back for PGDCA, I would do all the courses that workshop cooking.
I'm
Yeah.
sure Chef Thiru would be very happy to see you back in the campus. I'm
But
100%.
I would, I this is one, I think, dream of mine. Like, I would never be able to call Vaksha my alma mater officially. Like, you know, like, I never studied and finished my course there. But then it'll always be mine, you know. I would never say that I didn't study at Vaksha. It will always be that piece of me that I cherish.
Well, it's a temple for you, the place where you worship.
Yeah, very much. I love that place.
Yeah, so talking about Vaksha, to all the listeners listening to this, she sang for Vikas Khanna when he had come for the Bhumi Pujan for the Culinary Museum.
Oh, yeah.
And
Oh,
she
God.
was starstruck looking at him. So, would you like to share that experience? How was it?
I'm
Second science.
amazed at the fact that you remember where we sat and where we sang and how the
You
expression was
sat with
spot on.
Sanjeevani Shastri and when
Yeah.
Mr. Rajesh Bhardwaj had come down with Vikas Khanna.
Very much.
I
So,
had a
fun
very
fact.
fun.
Yeah, so I had dropped out by then, by the
Go
way. So, this Bhoomi Puja was happening when I was in BHM. And I was not in Baka. But then, Chef Vasantan used to call Sanjeevani and I set dosa. Department of Singing Arts. Department of Culinary Arts ko badal gaye. So he used to be like, set dosa should sing and everything. And Chef Tiru was like, Vikas Khanna is coming. This is the set list. I want you to dedicate this song for Chef Vikas and all that. We had one day to prepare. And I had already told Chef Tiru that I'm dropping out. And Chef was like, you know what? Until you're here, this is your place. And he made me live that dream of mine. And then I
Did he
stayed
really
back.
say this is your place, or did he say, hey, what nonsense you're speaking? Like the way he
Precisely.
actually.
Yeah, that.
That's how he
Exactly.
says.
Yeah, he just ignored my whole situation of Chef, I'm dropping out. What do you really want me to sing? He's like, shh, nonsense, go sing. So yeah, that was exactly what it was. And then Sanjeevani and I had like one day to prepare. We prepared a few songs, and I was sitting there. I couldn't believe it. Okay, I was fangirling, and I didn't. I usually happens to me. I fangirl, and then I don't have the guts to go and meet. See, I look up to Chef Thomas Zakaria also like a lot. But then when I went to Bombay Canteen, it was like a long cherished dream. I saved up to get to Mumbai for my birthday. I went to Bombay Canteen and I saw Chef Thomas walking past, and I did not have the guts to go talk to him. I just sat there. So
Well,
that's what happened.
I'm pretty sure there are many other upcoming bloggers who look up to you, and even
Oh
there
God,
in
no.
your, well, I can assure you there are many following like people who wants to be like you, who you are at this age.
Oh
So, see,
God.
you have been a very huge inspiration for me in person, that
Oh,
how
Raja,
not to
thank
give
you.
up in life.
Likewise.
So you sang for Chef Vikas Khanna, you were starstruck looking
Yeah,
at
so
him.
Vikas Khanna, Chef Vikas came to us. So everyone was taking photos, and the service team had come, the kitchen team had come to take photo after the whole, beautiful lunch. The spread arranged by Chef Tiru, everything was done, and Chef Vikas came like we in front of us. We were sitting, right? It was like an Indian setup. We were sitting and singing, and then Chef Vikas just came and said, "Where are the two singers? I want to click a picture with them." And Sanjeevani and I were like, "What? What? That he's calling us? Okay." So yeah, we were a bit like chirpy and excited, and we were frog jumping there, and then we got to click a picture with Chef Vikas. It was a beautiful moment.
It was. I still looked at that photo on Facebook, and I was like, oh my God, look at this girl, where she has reached now.
Oh God, no. Still a long
Completely.
way to go.
Well, it's a long, long way, but you know, every single step is a journey for
Very true.
a milestone.
Very true.
So you dropped out of workshop because of your health problems, and you eventually turned into a food blogger. So we have discussed how your journey was in Vaksha. Now we'll talk about how your journey as a food blogger has been so far.
Okay, so after dropping out from Vaksha, it was never food blogging. I mean, it did not directly go into food blogging. Food blogging eventually just happened to me. So I never thought that I could write. Okay, so I used to write for myself, but then I'm not much of a writer. But I'm more of a nerd. I like reading about stuff. New things fascinate me. New concepts excite me. So in that context, but I still didn't want to give up on cooking. Okay. So I went ahead and joined a friend's catering business in Bangalore because my head was acting a little weird sitting at home. And then I started working at the age of 19, soon after I dropped out. And then that was going good, but then the allergy struck me really bad. So my parents were really anxious, and they were like, you know what, just come back home. This is high time, you can't deal with this. I came back home. I didn't know what to do. I was lost. My parents were like, you take your time, just do your degree by the side, just as a backup. So I started off with IGNU, and I like started pursuing my bachelor's in tourism and tours and travels. So I was doing that. And I didn't know what to do. So I started baking cakes and testing, you know, how I, like, is it better now? So I used a mask and everything. It was getting okay, and I started a baking business. So like I told you, my parents are extremely supportive of any decision I take. So they got me an oven, and I did a soft launch for this business called the Gluten Guild. And I got a massive response. So I started off with selling cake jars, cake in a jar. I had prepared 500 cake jars for my soft launch. Got sold out in an hour. This was at the reading room. Like, it was crazy. So I was like, you know, this is what my next step is going to be. But then from there, the allergy just shot up. It was extremely bad. Like, I had to get admitted. My doctor almost killed me for trying to do whatever was not supposed to do, what I was not supposed to do. And they were like, you know, this is not your thing. You're not supposed to do it. Please understand, you'll have to go through immunotherapy. So, and that immunotherapy period was not the best, or not, it was not good at all. My parents freaked out. I had, like, I some days I used to go and get my ECG checked because my heart was just racing. I had to get some minor tweak surgeries and all on my hand because there was some artery breaking. So it's crazy. I don't want to go into the dark side. But then,
I'm glad you overcame with all those problems, and you.
I think it's because of my parents. I mean, they're just so strong, and they're just like very chirpy and happy all the time. So yeah, it's got, fingers crossed. So all of that, and then you know what, my brother was like, Anja, listen, you can still write about food. And I'm like, where do I write? Who will read? Achyut is like, when you start writing, will you know who will read it? Like, when he started music, he little did he know that there'll be so many listeners. So I was like, okay, I'll try to do something. And I'm technically not that great. Like, I'm very tech stupid. That's the word I would use. I don't know how to set up a website and all that. So but I'm good at networking. That I know for sure. So I had a friend who was studying computer science, and I believe in paying everybody who does work. Okay. So whatever little saving I had from the Gluten Guild, I gave it to him, and I was like, you know what, get me a website done, please. And please take me through how I can edit it. That's when I started thankgodonfat.com, and to market it, I started an Instagram platform.
Right. And today it's a brand.
Oh God, I don't know. Thank you.
So, Anjana, see, there are certain things which we all should know before stepping into a particular industry, be it food, be it the medical, or be it any industry. So what was the one thing you had wished you had known when you began your career as a blogger or as a writer or as whatever you want to say it?
Yeah, I would rather call myself a food writer, because every other person is a food blogger today.
Yeah.
So I would say, okay, a good question. So one thing I've learned, I've learned and I've seen while my brother's working as well, like in that industry or this industry, is digital world is booming, okay? It's crazy out there. And one thing we'll have to know is, the more research and authentic stuff you put in, the growth is going to be that slow.
Yeah.
Right? See, for example, the more effort you put in, the growth is going to be slow, but it is going to be fruitful at the end of it. There will be people who will take the shortcut, and they'll create some, you know, crowd puller stuff and get a lot of growth, massive reach, will have a lot of followers, if I'm talking about digital perspective alone. But then, is there quality in that? How long would it last? That's always when we start something, I would say that never be disappointed with the slow growth we have, because at the end of the day, that is what will matter. Quality stuff will matter, and it will build a portfolio for you. Like, I could randomly make videos and just post it about my day in my life, or you know, that could be my future thing when I actually grow, and probably I could do a fun entertainment section. But then should my whole approach be only directed in that direction? You know, should it be only that? It shouldn't be.
Right.
So that's the main thing. In every industry, there will be people who take shortcuts and reach some place before you. But that shouldn't
Right.
let you stop, or you know, you, that shouldn't stop you from doing what you actually want to do.
So guys, not many people know that besides being a food writer, Anjana had accepted my request to write for my book, which I had authored back in 2018, and I was so humbled when she said yes for it. And I'm still thankful for that. And we made a deal that we'll write a project for my another book, which I'm writing.
Yes, you know what, Ajay? And that time I was nothing. I was just growing, and you came up with this opportunity, and I was like, really, you. I have to thank you. And if you check, if you find my Instagram, Thank God I'm Fat, there's a highlight called Media. And if you click on it, the first one is the Saudi Gazette I wrote for Ajay. And I was so, I was like taken off. I was like, what? Did he really ask me to write a review? It's a beautiful moment, okay? And I have to thank you. You shouldn't be thanking me. I have to thank you for giving me that opportunity and trusting me with your book and to review your book. I still have it, by the way. I still have that book safe and sound.
I'm honored you kept my book safe and sound.
It's with the rest of the books, all the food books. So it's with Flavor of Spice by Mariam and Shreshi. There's a Highway on My Plate book. There's Soul Fried Monologues by O'Neill Sabu. So all of those, it's with all the books I cherish and treasure.
Thank you so much. So Anjana, you know that success never comes easy in life. One has to work really, really hard for it. And
Very
with much. Success, you face failures in life, you face downfall. So what was your biggest failure in the part of you growing, and what did you learn from it?
Biggest failure. Oh God, I've had multiple failures. I don't know which one is the biggest. I've never measured it. So my this journey has been failure ke upar failure. I mean, it has been until 12th, I was a geek, and I used
okay.
to, I never thought I'd be a dropout. First of all, I wanted to be a rank holder, so I used to look up to Athira Sethumadhavan in our college, in our school, Baka. She was my senior, 2 year senior. She was Baka third course. I was Baka fifth course. And I used to
She was my senior too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I still speak to her. We still connect.
Okay.
And I used to look up to Vijud. You know, Vijud and his ideas. Crazy ideas. It used to make me mad. But then I would still look up to his ideas. Then, I don't know, a lot of people. So, I always wanted to score well, get my name on the board, get a medal, probably become, you know, get a 10 GPA, all that
right.
stuff. But then that was my first failure. I dropped out. And the next time, I again dropped out. And then coming back here was probably the worst situation ever, you know. So my, more than my parents, my friends' parents were affected. They were bothered. They were like, you know what, you could have just done, you know, you could have probably gone into a chartered accountancy, or you could have taken up science and done medicine or engineering, or, you know, that sort of, I used to listen to it a lot. Coming back home, dropping out twice was not easy, especially
right.
in Kerala, where education is considered supremely important.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that. But my parents never cared. Probably my dad did a little bit here and there, but then he never showed me.
Right.
So he still brings in the degree kind of low. Now you can do IAS.
Right.
But then, no, my brain is not fit for that.
So you talked about being a dropout was such a, you know, hard thing for you to decide.
Very much, very much.
But just remember, Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, these all are dropouts, and they are the billionaires in the world.
If I have to talk like a typical Indian family, that is Mark Zuckerberg, this is Anjana.
Exactly, but if Mark Zuckerberg can, if Bill Gates can, why not Anjana Bhagwan can?
Oh God, the little high benchmark. Is there any other dropout I can relate to?
No. So, see, what I mean was dropout, a word dropout should not really matter or should not affect you until and unless you are passionate about something, you know?
True. When you are standing in that
it's all about
stand
dealing
of a situation.
The situation. It's about
yeah.
how you deal with
I'm
situation.
Talking about the moment. Yeah. So now
yeah,
I
yeah.
don't feel it. Now I take it as a, like I even proudly claim, welcome to the world of dropouts. But that at that point of time, see, my brother did engineering, but he never mentions it anywhere.
Right.
He just did it for the sake of it, and he always calls himself a musician. He doesn't bring along that engineering tag with him. So
right.
I have an inspiration at home, so I don't have to look elsewhere. And he has been in the music industry for 10 years. Like it was after 10 years or 11 years that When Chime It Toast actually happened and took off. Till then, he was trying out multiple things in the field of music. So that's the case with me too. But at that point, when I had to think of it as, oh shit, I'm a dropout. What will I tell people? How will they take it? That situation was such a failure impact for me. But then I overcame it. I grew out of it.
And also, if your brother is listening to this podcast,
I will definitely
tell him
share
something. Yes, I want to tell him that my college, the Culinary Institute of America, has a playlist of his band When Chime It Toast.
Whoa.
I'm not kidding. I have.
I have to tell him this.
Yes, it was played in my cafeteria a couple of months ago when I was in my first term, and that's how I became a fan of When Chime It Toast, because one of my.
Wow! He'll jump out of joy. I'm telling you.
And
oh, I have to tell
you know, my junior, she had told me, hey Ajay, you know, there is this band called When Chime It Toast. I had already heard about this band, but I was not into that listening kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they played in the egg, right, the cafeteria in CIA, I was like, oh my god. And when I googled it, it said Ashwin Gopakumar. And then I said, okay, he is Anjana's brother. And I was like, oh my god.
Wow, that is big. I have to definitely
that know. Was big thing for me as well, because I was so proud of that thing, because it was somewhere related to my very good friend.
Oh god, I will definitely share this with him, and he should listen to this podcast.
please share with
him. For sure.
So Anjana, you know, there are many upcoming bloggers and upcoming food printing people coming up in today's time. So what advice would you give to someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours?
Lot of research. Research. That's the word. Research, read, talk, educate yourself.
Or should we say in culinary term, do the mise en place before you prep?
Oh, very much. I swear to God, yeah. Mise en place. Very much.
Yeah.
And you know what? But, you know, in culinary term, even if we use mise en place, we could say that once the mise en place is done, you know you can get going. But then in the research world, mise en place never gets done. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. So to write one article or one column for On Manorama. So for On Manorama, when I write, I strictly stick to Kerala cuisine.
Right.
Okay, so for writing that, the kind of things I have to deal with. So right now I'm writing an article on fermented food, ethnic fermented food, and I'm reading about Ayurveda, and I'm talking to Ayurvedic doctors and learning about Triguna and Tridosha. I'm learning about all the food, you know, the Ayurvedic energies, about, I don't know, there's so many things happening, and I've been on it for a week. And I've still not been able to sit down and start off. So yeah, that's the only thing. Right now, what this food blogging is, making a video and posting it on Instagram. I don't agree with that. So that's why I call myself a food writer. I'm not a food blogger. So someone I look up to is O'Neill Sabu from Fort Kochi. So he does a lot of research. He was a lawyer for 10 years. And then he got into food writing. And he has written a book called Soul Fried Monologues. Now he's writing another one. The kind of research he does is crazy. And I want to get there. And then I want to research like Mariam H. Reshi, you know, the kind of travel and exploring.
But you forgot one of our food blogger who we both are connected to, Mr. Kalyan Karmarkar. He'll be listening to the podcast.
I'm so sorry. Yes, Kalyan, definitely. So the first time I got to meet Kalyan, I really wanted to ask him, how do you write so well and how do you write so consistently good, you know?
I know. I'm a big fan. I'm like, I met him in a food walk because during
Delhi?
Delhi.
Yeah,
so I was like, okay, I know this person. I know who he is. See, I'm not much into the blogger side of the industry. Mm-hmm. I'm more into the kitchen part.
Yeah.
And you know, to be honest, I don't have a grudge against blogging or bloggers, but you know, when they write something, it can make and break your
very true.
So you know, you have to butter them that are kar do na yaar, please write something good. But what
yeah.
I believe is that your food should speak, not the person who is cooking.
Yeah.
You should put a little of yourself in the plate.
Yep.
So when I read about Kalyan Karmarkar, I was so stuck because he tells like story, altogether a story, and he comes up like, oh my god, this is that, and when he took us to
his writing will make you want to read the entire article, and that is a tough nut to crack. Okay, and he does it. So you know, writer's block is a massive thing. Like I can't write every day. I want to, but then I can't bring myself to do that. And how he's a full-time food writer, and he does it consistently and consistently good.
Right.
That's something we'll have to learn from him. And the first time I met him, I really wanted to ask this. Then I was like, you know what? I shouldn't ask this because he's just good. You know, I should absorb from whatever I talk. And we took the cab back together after the event.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us had the flight at the same time. I think both of us were going to Mumbai, but two different flights.
Right.
It was in Delhi. It was from Delhi. We were going to Mumbai. And we spoke for a long time. And Kalyan was telling me how he, you know, he quit his work life to get into full-time food writing.
Right.
Yeah, I look up to Kalyan a lot.
So do I. So do I. So, okay. Not many people know that she had interacted with Chef Vikas Khanna and one of my favorite chefs, Chef Vineet Bhatia, who I was so honored to present a book. So would you like to share that experience?
Oh yeah, so in this period of food writing journey, and being part of culinary culture, the first person I got to meet, before that I forgot to mention about Veer Sanghvi. That kind of writing I can never achieve. Be it politics, be it food, be it about books, be it about anything, be it about an interview, how does Veer write so well? Oh God, he's so good. And that is someone like benchmark is so high. With Veer, it's so high. So the first person I got to meet through the culinary culture journey was Veer Sanghvi. And that was a wonderful meeting. I mean, and that's the same time I got to meet Chef Vineet as well. The way he presents, the way he tells us about his journey and how he never thought he'd be a chef and he ended up there and he started loving it. You know? That's crazy good. And his wife also speaking about how she helped him and about his chocolate samosa and makhani ice cream.
The chocomosa. That is a signature dessert.
And all of that. And how he... It's just crazy, you know. It's just so good. It's so good.
So, when you talked about Chef Vineet Bhatia, so even when I met him and you told how he tells his story of becoming a chef. So, you know, when I was waiting for him in the pre-launch of his restaurant in Movenpick in Jeddah, I was like, okay, what should I ask him? He's the first Michelin star receptant in the
from India.
And I was like so nervous. So, you know, when he came and sat down with me and he's like, "Arey, chal." He's a typical Punjabi person. He makes you so calm and relaxed. And I was like, oh, chef. And you know, I was fumbling because I was like, oh my God, I'm looking at a person who I messaged randomly and he accepted my thing and he called me up for the book. I was like so in a state of a shock. And then when he told that I wanted to become a pilot, I wanted to be but I was too short for that. And then when I went into bartending, but I was too short to reach the height of the table, so they put me in the kitchen, that this is the place. And that's how he
exactly
developed. I was like, oh my God, this man is crazy. And his creations are to look up to. Like his plater, he has modernized the Indian cuisine on the plate altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So
very much. So meeting Chef Vineet was such a fascinating moment. Then I got to meet Chef Gagan, Gaganandan. An enigma, literally. Culinary culture introduced him as an enigma, and I completely agree. Nobody can decipher him. He's as crazy as his creation. Such a humble soul. Even Chef Vineet was very down to earth. Then meeting Asma Khan was such a, she's so articulate and she's so powerful. Like, I mean, the kind of power energy resonates when she speaks. Then there is Chef Reggie Matthew. Chef Reggie Matthew is another chef who has put Kerala food under the spotlight. And that is, he has this restaurant called Kappa Chakka Kandari in Chennai. So they do offbeat Kerala cuisine. Not the porota and biryani, but you know, things which are not so popular, like pidi and korim and all that. So I got to meet him. I really wanted to meet Chef Floyd Cardoz, but then I couldn't. He was there for that event.
I met him in January when I went back to New York. I was so happy, and when I got the news of he being no more, I was shattered. Like, the way
I was shocked.
Everyone was shocked. The whole culinary world was in a shock.
I mean, can you believe it? Ajay, so March 3rd was this culinary culture launch. We were all there. And my friends got to click a picture with him. I mean, the rest of the bloggers from India. They got to click a picture with him. And I had to leave because because of my flight.
Right.
And I left. And then I saw the picture of Chef Floyd. And I was like, what? Chef Floyd was there? And then everyone was like, yeah, he was there for the 50th year celebration of Bombay Canteen and all that. I was like, oh God, I missed it. And then I came back. And by the end of March, I get to know that Chef Floyd is no more. I was in a state of, I don't know.
Same thing happened with me. I woke up one morning and I got to know, oh my God, Chef Floyd has no more. I'm like, what?
It was bad.
Now we are going to deepen this fun segment. So now, so what were the best resources you had that have helped you along the way, wherever you are in today's time?
Resources?
Yeah.
I think my biggest resource would be my networking. I would still say it. I'm a marketer, and like, marketing is my full-time profession. And I network a lot. Like, I go for events. I used to, pre-COVID era.
Yeah.
I don't know about the new normal, but then I attend webinars. I try to make friends. I support each other kind of feelings, you know. So reach out to people. Reach out to people, you know, that. So even with On Manorama, becoming a columnist, networking is what helps. So I think my biggest resource has been two things. One is books. Number two is networking.
So Anjana, you know, we always look up to few influencers in our life, like who really motivates. So who were the three people who have been the most influential to you? If you have to name any three people.
Oh, for me, my three influential people are within my house. I mean, within my home. I would never look outside. One is my brother. Definitely. Like, any time of the day, he started off when he was 18, getting into the music industry, and at 30, he's killing it. That's one. Another is my my parents. Definitely, because my mom and dad are extremely supportive, and they're completely opposite. They're complete opposites, yet they gel well, and their ideas. I've got, both of us, my brother and I, we've got a mixed bag of both of their ideas together, and we both consider that as an edge. Third is a tricky one. It could be my grandma, because she's the one who taught me food. She was the one who taught me to not cry. She doesn't cry, weirdly. But if you're talking about the outside of, it's a little tough. I look up to a lot of people. I don't know. I can't pinpoint and narrow it down to one.
Well, you have great influences in your life, and I'm glad that you are doing really well. But, you know, besides being in a profession which is like something new, like food writing or being a chef, many people have some myths and, you know, some doubts about the profession, that what exactly this person is doing. So what is that one common myth about your profession or your field that you want to debunk?
The most common thing is, someone asks me, so what do you do? I'm a food writer. No, what do you do? I'm a food writer. No. What do you do to live? I'm a food writer. No, I mean, you know, for a living. I am a food writer. This is everyday story. And then I'm like, I write about food. No, that's a hobby. No, I'm like, no. That's what I do. You know, that's my profession. No, so how do you live? I'm like, by breathing.
No, because...
And eating food. It's crazy.
I know, because even with me, even being a chef is not easy. That people ask me, what do you do?
Very true.
I'm like, I cook. No, uske alawa kya karte ho? I feed people. That is my job. But kama ke tumhe leta?
I swear.
The blessings I get from people is way more than what I earn in money, in monetary form.
Feeding
people is a noble cause.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we cannot change the older generation who have the, you know, the kind of thinking they have, but we can set a mark for the upcoming generation. So, Anjana, it's been a very fun segment and I've been asking you a lot of questions.
Thank you so much.
If you had to ask one question to yourself, you were in my shoe, which I did not, what would it be?
I ask this to myself every day. Where do you see yourself with this, you know, taking this? Where do you see yourself in the near future?
Right.
Or what do you really want to do? That's the question I ask myself before going to sleep every night. I just ask myself, like, do you really want to do it? Do you think you can do it? What do you like? What is the next step? I mean, yeah, okay, I'm a columnist. I'm writing on my blog. But you should never be stagnant to plateau. So you should always keep moving, climbing up the ladder. So what is that? See, even in the ladder, I should know what the next step should be to keep my, you know, foot. That's the question I ask. Wo agla step kya rahega?
What next? So this is a very personal question.
Yes.
Like being a host, how do you feel to be a guest on my podcast?
I am honored. Thank you so much. Such a cute question. Thank you so much. I mean, but like, I didn't even think for a second before I said yes. You know it. You were like, do you want to be on a podcast? I'm like, yeah. Take me.
I'm honored that you accepted invite, you know. I really wanted you.
Oh God, I didn't even think. I saw a podcast and I'm like, yes, please. Don't even think twice. Yes, me, I'm there.
Because I was so eagerly waiting for your acceptance and our mentor, Chef K. Thiru. And when you accepted, I'm like, half the battle is won. I'm killing in this podcast now. I have the...
Oh God, I'm honored. And I'm like, with Chef Thiru, I'm like, I am nowhere close. I am somewhere here on the bottom of the ocean. Chef Thiru is on top, like, you know.
I know.
He is someone else. Oh my God, I look up to him.
Everyone does. Everyone who is related to him looks up to him. So, okay.
Very.
So, you talked about networking. But where can our listeners who are listening to this podcast can connect to you?
On Instagram. On LinkedIn. Okay. Or Twitter. I don't know. Any social media, pick it and
okay, so her social media handle is @ thankgodandfat on Instagram and on Twitter.
Yep.
So you guys can follow her over there.
Yep.
And follow me as well.
It's Anjana Gopakumar on LinkedIn. Yeah, yes, please follow Chef Ajay as well. Yes, I'm too.
Okay, so Anjana, we were last segment of our podcast. And
awesome.
So what would be the tips you would like to give it to the coming generation who looks to pursue the career in the different field, like how we pursued in the field of culinary? And
right, so I don't think I'm in a position to give any tips or anything, but then like I told you, it's going to be really slow. I think I mentioned this, so it's going to be really slow and it's going to be a difficult path. You're going to have anxiety. You just have to read a lot, learn a lot. Every day will be something new for you.
Right.
Every day we learn something new.
Right.
We learn something fascinating and it's crazy. And as long as you have the zest for it and the, you know, the zeal for it, it's going to be super fun.
I know. So, Anjana, so that was the fun segment with you. And I'm so happy that you came to my podcast. So
thank you
so much once again. So guys, that's what all about from the lady herself, Anjana Gopakumar, and thank you so much
Ajay, means a lot. I mean, yeah, for this opportunity, for considering me even worthy to be on your podcast.
No,
and
no,
always
no.
Been consistently supporting me throughout these years.
All right, Anjana. So, guys, that was it from today's episode. And we shall meet you with some other guest, other very special guest on my new podcast. Thank you.